Neil Delamere's Sunday Best. Today
FM. Copperfest Jacks, I think we all know, is probably the most famous nightclub in Ireland. The scene of many a blossoming love story. It's now the scene of a new production, Copperfest Jacks, the musical. And the multi-award winning journalist, author and creator of Ross O'Carroll Kelly, Paul Howard, is the person behind this. He joins us now to tell us what it's all about. How are you, Paul?
Hi, Neil. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Listen, always a pleasure to talk to you. Sometimes you read a sentence or the title of something, you go, oh, somebody should have done that way before now. It's a brilliant idea. If this was Dragon's Den of musicals and you walked in and went, Copperfest Jacks, musical, I would just be shoveling money towards you. How'd you come up with the idea, first of all?
Well,
and tell us what it's about.
With Darren Smith, it was his, the Darren's one of the co-producers of the show, and it was his bright idea. In a moment of extreme stress, as it happens, because 6 years ago we were making Anglo the Musical, and we had horrendous legal problems with Anglo the Musical. People were trying to close us down. The DPP was threatening to go to the High Court to injunct the show. And it was just an incredibly stressful experience. And jokingly, one day, in between meetings with lawyers, Darren turned to me and said, do you know what? We should have just done Copperfest Jacks the Musical. And our eyes both widened, and that was it.
And like all good writers, you wrote it into a notebook or keyed it into your phone to come back at a later point.
I think at that point we were so stressed over Anglo, we would have just dropped it and done Copperfest Jacks at that point. But I think
use all the same songs. That would have been amazing.
Yeah,
the IMF goes into Copperfest Jacks, and no one knows why.
Exactly. Yeah, but we had to. I think we had a mind to do it then, and. But I think we're both busy with other projects and probably a little bit scarred by the Anglo experience, so we thought we'd give it a few years. But it was always there, and I just know that no matter who I said it to over the years, their face immediately brightened when they heard the idea. And that doesn't often happen with ideas, you know. It's kind of the title actually is so funny that you kind of think, well, you have to make that happen, you know.
As a matter of interest, Anglo the Musical, did that sort of controversy, did that help audiences in the way that we might assume that people would go in and once there's controversy over something, it actually, once you get it on, people go and see it?
No, it didn't really. I mean, for the first run, the audiences were very disappointed, and that was in the Borgosh Energy Theatre. But I think what we hadn't done, what we hadn't really sort of taken into account was that just the word Anglo was just so toxic.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of my friends would have said to me at the time, Anglo the Musical, show wouldn't give them any more money. There was almost, almost an expectation that the money was going to go to the directors of Anglo-Irish Bank. So it didn't really. We brought the show back to the Olympia a few months later, and it was just the right venue for it, and it was a success in the Olympia. But initially, when we had all the problems with the DPP, and with the solicitors of some of the defendants, it definitely didn't help sales. But
well, I think there's the opposite sentiment for Copperfest Jacks. I think there's a real affection for it as a kind of a spot where romances start. Texts have already started coming in saying, if Paul wants any material, I worked there some years back and I have some stories I can tell you. That's Bob, and I'd imagine there's probably some sort of consultant's fee involved in that. Can you tell us some of the plot without giving too much away?
Well, yeah. I mean, we wanted to sort of to give it the Moulin Rouge treatment. You know, we wanted to give Coppers the Moulin Rouge treatment. So it kind of focuses on the romantic lives of a group of Coppers regulars. So one of them is Nolene Ní Gearald, who's a girl from Carras Éireann, County Kerry, who moves to Dublin to fulfil her lifetime dream of working for the VHI.
Listen, it's what we all wanted.
She comes to Dublin, and she's warned before she leaves Carras Éireann, you know, stay away from those Dublin lads. No good can come of it, you know.
Yeah.
And she's in her bedsit one night on Harcourt Street, and she hears the sweet sounds of Maniac.
Maniac 2000?
Yeah, drifting across the road to her bedsit. And so she's sort of lulled into this club. She's drawn across the road like one of the Bisto kids, you know, with the waft of but the waft of music in this case. And she's she's very lonely in Dublin, but she's embraced by this big, warm, welcoming nightclub that's full of people like her. You know, there's lots of nurses, guards, civil servants from the country in there, and it has the atmosphere of just a big GAA club disco. But while she's there, she falls in love with the hero of the piece, who's called Gino Byrne, and he's a Dublin Corporation clamper who also happens to be the captain of the Dublin football team. So it is, it's kind of a bit like West Side Story, you know, it's the, there are vast differences in their background.
Hands across the divide.
Yeah, and the obstacles they have to overcome to be together.
You've sold me. Already you've sold me on this. Who writes the music for this then? Do you have a hand in writing? Because obviously there's the book and then there's the actual, the song. So do you write the music as well?
I'm not musical in any way, you know, but I'm going to write, I'm writing lyrics at the moment, you know, which probably... Probably when we sat down to do Anglo the Musical, I sat down with Tony and David, who did the music for that, and they said, "How did you hear this one going in your head?" You know, and I would sort of sing it, you know, and it of course all of the songs I had in mind turned out to be all existing show tunes, you know. They would say, "That's, you know,
yeah, that's in Les Mis, Paul. We can't do that."
Yeah. So there was a lot of that kind of thing, you know, and but I'm sure it'll be the same this time. But I'm going to write lyrics, and then what we'll do between now and June when we start rehearsals, I mean, I've got a lot of the songs written already in lyric form. We'll sit down and at a piano and write the tunes.
And what stage is the casting at? Has it begun, or do you have anybody in mind, or do you have any input? Do you just hand it over at that point?
Well, generally what happens is that they would always sort of consult me, and it's happened with the Ross O'Carroll Keddie plays as well, you know, when we're casting, they always sort of say, what about this character for this part? Quite often, I'm the worst judge, you know, we have experienced theatre people involved, you know, so... They're better judged than I am, but I'm sure I will have some part. But it hasn't been cast yet. I mean, it will be cast over the next few months. It's only just written. So,
well, we had Rory Nolan on the show last week, and he's actually in Waiting for Godot at the moment. But obviously, we had to talk to him about Ross O'Carroll Kelly. And you know, when you see him, you just go, "That's a perfect piece of casting." You know, you can't see anybody else as it. So,
no. It
is so important in the whole process.
Rory's extraordinary because the first time he ever did performed a Ross O'Carroll Kelly monologue to me it was in Maureen's Bar at the back of the Olympia, and he read for the part, and I think he was the second person we'd seen, and I knew instantly. I said straight away, no doubt, like this guy is Ross O'Carroll Kelly, to the point now where when I'm writing the Ross O'Carroll Kelly books, I think I'm thinking of Rory Nolan in the part.
Wow,
he is that good, you know.
That's a testament to him, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you now, can you tell us this now, have you frequented Coppers a lot? Was there a particular, either since you came up with the idea, or did you just trawl the back catalogue of various encounters?
No, I did. I was a regular there back in the day, you know. Not recently, you know, because firstly I'm too old, and then I'm married as well, and I think going to Coppers every week isn't conducive to a happy married life.
That's true.
But I did, I mean, back in the sort of late 90s, early 2000s, which would have been the sort of first sort of 6 or 7 years of Coppers' existence, I was there quite often. I wasn't one of these people who could get into Reynard's. Some reason, I could never ever persuade bouncers to let me into Reynard's. And the first time I actually got in there was sort of years after it was the place to be, you know. And I went up the stairs. I felt like a thief going up the stairs, but I actually managed to get in. And I got up there, and it was only me, Anna Nolan, and Blanid Nikofic were the only people. There were just three of us in the club. I met Blanid the other day, and we both agreed that was the end of the Celtic Tiger moment, you know.
Yeah.
But the thing about Coppers, what made it so successful and what turned it into such an institution, is that it never had that exclusive door policy. You know, they let lads, a gang of lads, in wearing awfully colours, you know, the you could wear your GA jerseys, a gang could get in, whereas if you went to Reynard's or Lily's back in the day, if there was sort of 12 of you, there was no chance 12 of you were going to get in. And but Coppers never had that, you know, it never had, you know, just sort of turning people away just to, you know, they were never particularly picky about the clientele in that way.
So what you're saying is if the Lord comes back and he wants somewhere to have the Last Supper, it's not Reynard's, it's going to be him and the 12 boys in their Galilee GAA jerseys in Copperfish Jacks.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't allow sandals in Reynard's, you see.
do something with that wine there, Jesus. Well, you are giving back, in fairness as well, to the place that has spawned this idea, because 100 free tickets to an exclusive preview at the Olympia Theatre on the 9th of July are going to Gardaí nurses who went above and beyond the call of duty during storm. Emma, lots of texts coming in about the nascent romances that happened there and then went on to be something else. It's a great idea. I'm a dub. Went to Coppers for a lad leaving work from Sligo. Met a girl and cousin from Offaly. I'm still doing my penance 20 years later and 2 kids. Coppers, the bane of my life. Just kidding. That's from Tom. And girl and cousin, I figured out, I think we know the context of that. Not your cousin, hopefully. Copperfish Jackson musical runs at the Olympia Theatre in Dublin here from July 5th, and tickets are €28 plus booking fee, and the tickets are on sale now from ticketmaster.ie. Paul Howard, thanks a million for chatting to us today about your new project.
Neil Delamere's Sunday Best. Today FM.